I am so excited. I have got Anne on the line. Anne, tell everybody your full name and what you do.
Hi, Kat. My name is Anne Bossom, and I'm an author of nonfiction books for children, teens, and adults.
Which is so exciting. How long have you been doing this?
More than 20 years now.
Wow. And how is it writing for National Geographic?
Oh, I've done more books with them than anyone else, and each one has been a pleasant adventure. It's not easy to make a book, but I keep coming back because they make them so well.
And the one we're talking about today is Ensnared in the Wolf's Lair. Ooh, what's it about?
So this is history that picks up on a story that Americans often have heard of, which is the attempt to assassinate Hitler in July of 1944 at the Wolf's Lair, which is in modern-day Poland. And so we know that, but we don't know a lot about what happened next, and that's the story I wanted to tell. So the subtitle is Inside the 1944 Plot to Kill Hitler and the Ghost Children of His Revenge, and it's that revenge that caught my eye when I was in Germany doing some ground research for a potential World War II book.
Wow.
And the revenge not only ensnared the conspirators who had tried to overthrow the Hitler regime, but also their relatives all the way down to the youngest of children. And that seemed like a story worth telling.
Well, what was it like meeting these eyewitnesses to history?
It's always humbling when you can speak to somebody who was, as you say, an eyewitness to history. And I met with two of them in Germany. I've spoken with others over the phone. And I think I was in particular grateful to Berthold von Stauffenberg, who was the oldest son of the man who set that explosive device at the Wolf's Lair in an attempt to kill Hitler. And he invited me into his home so graciously and answered my questions as if I was the first person who had ever asked him about this subject. And yet in his 80s, he's been really almost a family spokesperson on this subject his entire adult life.
Well, the research you did and the traveling, I mean, that just makes it so personal to you and so much different on telling a story other than never being there or talking to these people. Was it like a wartime diary? I know I have in my notes here, you know, to mention Anne Frank's diary. Was it kind of like that?
Good point, because one of the other eyewitnesses I spoke to, and you know, ultimately we befriended one another, was named Christa von Hofacker at the time.
Right.
And she was 12 when this uprising failed, and she was the middle of five children. Her mother and her older siblings were taken away by the Gestapo almost immediately, and a few weeks later, she and her younger siblings, she had two younger siblings, were taken out of their family home and gathered with other children in this secret location in central Germany called the Borntal. And during that time, she kept a diary of her experiences. It's not nearly as long as the one Anne Frank kept, and you know, she survived to be there to represent the history. The diary has to stand in place of Anne, who was, of course, killed during the Holocaust, along with 10 million other people,
right,
which is one of those the gravest examples of evil from the regime. But Krista's diary helps to document this this smaller story, but that still is telling in just the depths of cruelty that the regime would go to, terrorizing these young children.
Well, how did the term ghost children come to be?
This is a term that was coined by some observers of the kids near the end of the war. Some of them were held indefinitely. Some were let go earlier. But this core group remained through the final months of the war. And in that period, there were some German officers and scientists who were lodging in the same property in different houses. And they observed these kids walking silently on the lawn of this almost camp-like setting and gesturing to one another with hand signals. And the kids did that because they were forbidden to speak when they were out of doors. So they had developed their own sign language. Mm-hmm. And to these outside observers, they had this ghostly quality to them with their silent communication. And they gave them the nickname of Geisterkinder, or ghost children. And it was only many years later that nickname came to light.
Well, I understand you used some rare photographs, too. How amazing is that?
It really was. There's a foundation based in Berlin that has maintained communication with these now grown children and their descendants even, and has put together exhibitions about them and was kind enough to help connect me to some of their family photographs and get permission to use them. And so it helps to personalize and humanize this story and about these people we've never heard of, and yet we can sympathize with the terror that they would have experienced and fear.
Right. Well, what did you learn about the revenge, the plot? I mean, how did that all go, and what was the end result?
Well, for the conspirators themselves, it was almost invariably torture and then show trials and execution. More than 150 were killed by the Nazi regime. Others were imprisoned indefinitely. Many were kept in prison and then executed in the final weeks of Nazi authority. But most were killed early on, within mm-hmm. weeks of the failed coup. And the relatives, some, as I said, were detained for only a brief period of time, perhaps weeks or a month or so, but others were held indefinitely, and it was not until they were liberated by Allied forces as the war came to an end that they began to find their way back home.
Wow. And this is your, is this your 11th book for National Geographic Kids?
I think that's right. It's
wow.
My sweet 16 overall, so uh-huh. It feels like a very special project to have completed, not just because it's the 16th, but because of these hidden stories and these personal connections that I was able to make in trying to understand them.
I tell you, one of my favorites is, and always will be, Stubby the War Dog. Love that.
Oh, yeah, I call Stubby my personal therapy dog. I do a lot of books that have these social justice themes or, some of the challenging stories from history. And Stubby was just such fun for
yeah.
me. It really was a very therapeutic experience to get to spend a couple of years with his history.
Well, I understand you got to retrace your family's history a bit, too, during this book.
That was an added bonus. My ancestors came from Germany by way of Asia back in the early 19th century, and the branch that made it to America lost touch with the branch that remained, or the main root in Germany. But in the 1960s, my dad, who was a historian, reconnected the two sides of the family. And over time, there have been visits back and forth across the Atlantic, and I was able to spend time with them on both of the research trips that I took. And one of my cousins in Germany turns out to be a professional translator, and so he helped me with books that were written only in German. I am not fluent in German at all. And so he was able to translate key passages for me so that I could access additional information. So So Christoph was became a family project. My older son, who speaks very good German, came with me on both of my research trips, and so it felt. Sometimes being an author is a very solo experience, but not this time.
Oh, well, fun. Well, I just want to say congratulations again on your latest book. How can we stay up with you and on your current project on social networking?
The best bet is to find me through my author website, which is just my name, Ann Bossum, A-N-N, no E, Bossum, B-A-U-S-U-M. And annbossum.com is my website. You can find links there to my social media. And I'm actually doing a virtual event about this program later on Sunday. So you'll find information about that on my Facebook author page. So.
And I think everybody should. This is so interesting, and there's so much more. Ensnared in the Wolf's Lair and all about the ghost children. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you, Kat. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.